You got to tune to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. We often talk about Texas as southwestern, and we can debate whether we're more part of one point on the compass than the other. But when it comes to the West, what are we talking about? Where does it begin? What is it? And however we define it, is the West as we think of it still with us today? These are just a few of the questions award-winning historian and author H.W. Brands invites us to rethink in his latest book, Dreams of El Dorado, A History of the American West. He holds the Jack S. Blanton Senior Chair in History at the University of Texas at Austin. Good to see you again, sir. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Delighted to be back. Thank you.
What is the West to you? How do you define it? I guess you could geographically.
Sure. Well, it was a real challenge, actually, when I decided to do this book. What is the West? Because the West has always been a direction as much as a place in American history. It's also been a frame of mind. The first English colonies in North America were right on the Atlantic coast, and so the West was anything inland from there. I realized that if I was going to write a book about it, I would have to decide what is the West. Mm-hmm. I'd also have to deal with the question of chronology, sort of what period of the West. If I wrote about the West from the earliest days, it would really be nothing less than a history of America, a history of the United States. And that was more than I wanted to do, and more than most readers would think of if they think of the American West. So I made a decision that I was going to be the Trans-Mississippi West. Because nowadays, that's an easy way to divide the country.
Right there along the river.
Yeah. And so having done that, then that meant that most of the things that people associate with the West would be included. And it does certainly include Texas, because Texas is in that region. Although Texas, as you pointed out, it also has sort of one foot in the South. So that complicates the story. But as a historian, I like complications. It's things that make it right.
Yeah.
But it also allowed me to define the story chronologically, because it was a matter of, and so the subtitle of the book is The History of the American West.
Right.
So
right.
Having defined it as the geographical region west of the Mississippi River, then chronologically, so when did that become the American West? And I start with the Louisiana Purchase in 1803.
Yeah.
Because before then, the Trans-Mississippi West was, well, nobody knew exactly whose West it was. One could argue it was the Native Americans' West, but that's part of the story. But when does it become part of the United States?
And that's Napoleonic gift, really.
Exactly. Yeah. And so my story is the Trans-Mississippi West, essentially during the 19th century, so from roughly 1800.
Mm-hmm.
And I wind the story up around 1900. And this because the things that had made the West distinctive before then, they were fading away. Now, one of the characteristic features of the West was that it was a zone of persistent violence. It was a region that was contested by various parties for Americans, Native Americans, various foreign countries, Mexico, and so on. And the resolution of that struggle wasn't definitive until the end of the 19th century.
I want to get back to an observation, though, and not just let it hang out there. And that's this idea that the West is as much defined by this search for the El Dorado, if you will, as much as it is conflict. And in a way, if you look around the world, you look at the legends that were started on the other side of the globe, the stories of where the boundaries sort of meet, that's where the conflict always seems to happen, right?
Right.
But in a way, what happens in the American West at the end of the 19th century marks a kind of an end of that vast human narrative, in a sense.
Yeah. So what drives the conflict, the source of the violence, is this, well, in the terms that I put it, these dreams that there are great riches in the West to be claimed. Because what's fought over in the West is control of natural resources. At one level, it's control of the land. But it's not actually control of the land the way fights with Native Americans, Indians, were in Kentucky. Because what they were fighting over there was farmland, and it was going to be farmed. And the Indians were farmers, and the newcomers were farmers too. In the West, it wasn't farmland they were fighting over. Initially, what they were fighting over was gold, and that's sort of the essential El Dorado, the golden one. And it was these dreams of great wealth. The dreams of wealth in the West were sort of bigger, grander, maybe more grandiose than they had been in the East. Because in the East, it was a farming frontier, it was a farming migration. And farmers, generally speaking, realistically, had fairly modest ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
But the first exposure of many American Easterners to the West was news that there was gold in California. And boy, they could go out to California and they could make as much money in a summer digging the gold fields as they might make in a decade in the East. So they had these vast dreams. And there's sort of one set of dreams after another. There's the dream of gold. There's the dream in Texas of great wealth associated with the cattle industry.
Sure, sure.
There would be the dream of logging riches in the Northwest.
But I'm also thinking about a certain melancholy that is a big part of this story that we can't gloss over. I mean, you begin with your prologue. You start out with a figure who is certainly larger than life in American history, Teddy Roosevelt, you know, and in a way comes to symbolize the end of that sort of dream that we've been talking about, in a sense, the fights and that era of organized battle and so on and so forth. And yet, you close the book with a Lakota chief who actually saw the end of that era, and not in a mythological sense, but saw it passing away and you know, took note of the fact that a dream was also lost here.
Yeah.
With the end of that era.
Right. So I tell my story through the eyes and in the words of people who were there. As a historian, I prefer eyewitnesses to sort of other historians talking about it. And one of my main characters is Black Elk, who, for me, his timing was perfect. So he was a boy when the conflict comes to the Northern Plains. He is a Lakota. He's going to become a medicine man, a holy man. And he is there during the first battles of the Civil War. He's a kid during that. He is present at the Battle of the Greasy Grass, the Battle of Little Bighorn. He's there at the massacre at Wounded Knee. He lives through all of this, and this is essential for the historian, he tells his story. And he talks about how he had this dream, and his dream, of course, is very different than the dream of Theodore Roosevelt and of the gold hunters. His dream was a dream of the connection with nature that his people had had for years and years. Mm-hmm. And that dream vanishes. But one of the reasons that I end the book in the early 20th century is precisely that in the 20th century, the West is no longer distinctive in the way that it was. The violence is over. Mm-hmm. But it's also when these memories fade into the past. So two of the figures that I deal with toward the end of the book are Owen Wister, the author of The Virginian.
Right.
And he tells this story, and he tells it in retrospect. And he says at the end of the book that the story is no longer a story of the West as it exists. It is. That West has passed away, and Frederick Remington makes his artistic reputation and his fortune depicting cowboys
who
no longer exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so the West as it was passes into memory, but the fact that it's in memory does not diminish its power in the American mind.
You've been really generous with your time and generous with your ideas too. I want to ask one final question, sort of one that we started out with. Is Texas more Western or more Southern, do you think?
Texas is unique.
I think that's the only good answer right there. Dreams of El Dorado, A History of the American West. Read all about it. H.W. Brands is the author. He's a New York Times bestselling author and a Pulitzer finalist. Thank you so much for taking time to come
Thank
in
you,
and
David.
Speak with us. Good to see you again.
Yeah.